Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you hear the title Messiah, you think of Jesus, right? The title means anointed one. Priests and kings and prophets of the Old Testament were at times anointed or set apart as God's servants with a ceremonial act of pouring oil upon the head of the one chosen to mark that person as God's chosen intercessor in the case of priests, God's chosen king and ruler, therefore, and God's chosen messenger as a prophet. Now, Isaiah, from whom our Old Testament reading comes today, was one such anointed prophet. Although Scripture doesn't include an account of Isaiah being formally anointed with oil, the Spirit-inspired words that have come down to us from him in the Bible confirm him clearly as a chosen servant of the Lord. Today's reading, though, surprises us a little, because in Isaiah 45, he names a pagan king as one of God's anointed messiahs. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Now, Isaiah was not shy about proclaiming promises and prophecies that would be fulfilled a long way after his time. His sermons contained the prediction of Jesus' virgin birth in chapter 7. His light-bearing ministry throughout the land of Galilee in chapter 9. And his suffering, death, and resurrection in chapter 53. What's interesting about today's reading, though, is that Isaiah names the man who is God's Messiah. Although he wasn't born until nearly two centuries after Isaiah's time. Cyrus. Cyrus would be God's instrument to punish the Babylonians for their proud, selfish, and cruel ways. Who were the Babylonians? Well, the Babylonian Empire was an empire which in the year 587 BC was sent by God to punish the people of Judah for the years in which they had ignored the warnings of their prophets, in which they had been going their own way, thinking that everything was fine, until the Babylonian army filled their territory, surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and eventually conquered the people. But the Babylonians took the people of Judah and those who survived the conquest, they sent off into their empire, scattering them as exiles. And after 70 years of living as exiles in that homeland, it would be Cyrus, another king of Persia, another empire, who would then come and conquer the Babylonian Empire, opening the door for God's people to return home to the land from which they had been exiled. Cyrus would be God's anointed, his Messiah, chosen to open that door. And that's what we read and heard in our reading today from the Old Testament. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue the nations before him, and to loose the belts of kings, and to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, all the wealth of the Babylonians, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name for the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen. I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord. There is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. So before he was born, God called Cyrus to serve as the liberator of his people. Now, the fact that Cyrus did not know God was no obstacle for God. He would give him strength and victory over Babylon's armies. He would move Cyrus's heart to issue an edict that would allow the exiles of Judah to return, resettle, and renew their lives as people of God in the land he gave to them. All this and more God could do. All this God would do in faithfulness to his promise for the sake of his people, Jacob his servant, Israel his chosen. And God did make good on the promises that Isaiah spoke concerning Cyrus. In the first chapter of Ezra, we read, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, and for that matter Isaiah, might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. And let each survivor, in whatever place he sojourns, be assisted by the men of his place with silver and gold, with goods and with beasts, besides freewill offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. God kept his word. He used Cyrus, his Messiah, or an anointed one, to set his people free from exile. God kept his word, showing himself to be the one and only true God. He is the Lord, and there is no other. Besides him, there is no God. Great is the Lord. He is the King of all creation, the master of human history, and most wonderfully, the Savior of the world. All God did to fulfill his words to Cyrus, he did to bring the greatest Messiah into the world. 6 more centuries after Cyrus's service was complete, a virgin named Mary heard the word of God and conceived Isaiah's promised Emmanuel. Grown to adulthood, Jesus presented himself before John for baptism. He heard the familiar voice of his father say from heaven, "This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." He received the guiding, empowering presence of the Holy Spirit come down upon him as a dove, weighing upon him as oil poured on his head, marking him Messiah, anointed one. And in word and deed, Jesus filled the land of Galilee with the light of God's kingdom, and people saw and rejoiced. Then he offered up his innocent life on the cross as the ransom to free many from sin, death, and the devil forever. And Jesus rose from the dead on the third day to show himself to his fearful disciples and anoint them with the Holy Spirit to be his chosen servants, to proclaim his gospel to the world, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that Jesus is Lord and there is no other. Jesus is Lord. There is no other. He is God, King of kings, Lord of lords. He reigns over all of life, heaven and earth, with the supreme authority of God his Father. He's in charge of everything in life, ruling every moment in love, justly, and faithfully. He is God, and there is no other. He forms light and creates darkness. Now, when we enter into times of darkness in our lives, we can feel overwhelmed. We can't see what's going on. We can't understand our lives. And in those moments, fear tempts us to feel that all is lost, that life is in chaos, out of control. But no, no, says God through Isaiah. God creates even darkness. So he rules over it as well. God, remember, used the darkness of Judah's exile to purify their faith. Used the darkness of the cross to redeem us from hopelessness and death. And he uses every other form of darkness he creates in our lives to strengthen our faith in him, to lead us to let go of anything else and to cling only to his word. For he is the faithful one. He is the one who is our Savior. He shows us, even in the darkness, that he alone is God, and that we will never need another. Praise be to him. Amen.